Well, I feel Jesus here. I'm glad to be here. I've got a lot of friends here, got a lot of memories here. First time I came here, probably about 25 years ago. And I've been looking forward to coming. But I'm really glad to be in the presence that we're in right now. I learned a long time ago, you can be turning to Matthew's Gospel in the 16th chapter if you would here tonight. I learned a long time ago that you start talking about Jesus and the Holy Ghost shows up. Always. Always. That's his favorite subject. Do you know that? That's his favorite subject. That's what Jesus said. He shall testify of me. He'll show us things to come. He's the Spirit of truth. He'll lead us and guide us into all truth. There's a lot of things he talks about. But his favorite subject is Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. We need him here tonight. Anybody need him in this house? Matthew chapter 16, I want to read a verse here tonight. If you'll just forgive me, I'm just going to forego saying a lot of preliminary things. I wish my wife could be here. She was planning on coming and just sick starting last night. And so I left her at home in the bed sick. Hopefully towards the end of the week, she'll be able to make it. That's what our hope is. But my, the Holy Ghost is here. Anybody need help from the Holy Ghost in this house tonight? I sense there's a lot of needs. You don't have to have a real, sensitive sensor to understand there's a lot of needs in a crowd this size. But I sense there's so many different needs here. And I want you to look here at Matthew chapter 16. I'm going to read a verse. Verse number 18. Would you lift your hands and ask God to help us in the house tonight? Dear Father, I thank you for your presence that I feel here. For these precious people that have sought the Lord. You see them here, their hearts that are open to you, oh God. I pray that you'll reach out and touch them. Help me, give me liberty to say all that you'd have me to, nothing more, nothing less. Meet us in this place and in this altar, and we'll give you praise. And the church said, amen. Verse 18, and I say unto thee also that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. That's affirmative language, isn't it? I will build my church. And this is what I want to focus on here tonight. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I want to talk to you for the Lord to be my help. And I don't plan to preach long. And you pray for me that I can do things according to plan here tonight. But I want to preach to you, if the Lord would help me for just a little while, about the gates of hell shall not prevail. If the devil could destroy the church, he would have done it a long time ago. So evidently, there is something that is preventing him. Now, I know he is a destroyer. And I don't want to make light of the fact that he is a destroyer, because he has destroyed some things. His name is Apollyon and Abaddon. He is a destroyer. He comes not but for to kill and to steal and to destroy. He's destroyed some people. And I would be dishonest if I didn't admit he's destroyed some churches. He's destroyed some homes, but that was only because somebody let him. Because I am not reading from the voice of my experience here today. I'm not reading from the general consensus of what everybody thinks when they put all of their knowledge together. I'm reading from the words of our omniscient Lord. I'm reading from those words before the foundation of the church was actually really laid, and the day of Pentecost fully came and the blood was shed at Calvary. I'm reading here of one of the two times in the Gospels where the church was mentioned. And when he first starts talking about the church, he tells us in his own words that the devil or the gates of hell, in the terminology here, cannot prevail against my church. I'm going to build it. I'm going to have a church. And when I come back, there's still going to be one. All I know is I want to be part of it. I know there's some steeples on some buildings out there, and they may even call themselves a church on the sign, but they're not the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not the church according to the Bible, but there is a church in this generation. And I got to thinking this morning when I was praying. I went down to the church there, and I preached on this verse before. Several years ago, as an evangelist, I preached on it as a pastor. And I was praying at the church this morning, and actually, the Lord began to comfort me with this phrase in this verse: the gates of hell shall not prevail. And when that phrase came to my mind, Brother Randy, being a preacher, I remember preaching on that. And I just kind of said in my mind, I may have even said it out loud. I was there by myself talking to the Lord, and I just kind of said to myself, yeah, I preached on that a long time ago, and it was a voice, and I felt like it was the Lord's voice that just kind of said back to my heart, I said it a long time ago, a lot longer ago than what you preached on it, and it's still real today and down through the ages. While the crosshairs have been on saints of God and the church of God through the years, the church has prevailed and the gates of hell has not prevailed, and it shall not prevail, because I said what I said and I always keep my word. I wish I could preach to you here tonight. I know a lady. I thought about this today. I know a lady. She's a good woman. Very, very involved, supportive in her church for years. And she kind of got caught up in something. You know, good people can get caught up in bad situations. And she did. She got caught up in something, and it caused a... Well, it was a bad thing. And then she woke up. And when she woke up, she was remorseful. And she felt bad over what she did. And she tried to make amends, and she said the apologies and did what she was counseled to do to make the amends. But she had been so good and so true to fail in this area that it was almost as if she had got to a point of despair. And one day she was saying something along these lines: I can't believe I've done it. I can't believe I've did this. I've brought so much damage. I've destroyed the church. I've destroyed the church. And an old preacher that she had some confidence in, he spoke some words, and they sounded like kind of sharp words and kind of blunt words, but believe it or not, it comforted that woman. He said, who does she think she is? She ain't got that much power. She can't destroy the church. Jesus said that the gates of hell shall not prevail. She just needs to settle down here and trust God. Oh, can you help me preach for a little while? Hey, the church of Jesus Christ is going to roll on until he splits the eastern sky and carries it out of here. Gates of hell shall not prevail. And the church said, amen. I don't know what these preachers have been preaching here this week. I know it's been good because I know some of the preachers that's been preaching. And I know you folks. And I know the Holy Ghost. And I know the power of God's word. But oh, this is what I felt the Holy Ghost touch my heart with early this morning. The gates of hell. I think it's metaphorical language. The only description I have of hell is the one that comes in the 16th chapter of Luke. And it describes more what's going on in the soul of a man than it does the surroundings of that man. It does talk about the fire that he's tormented in, the flame. The book of Revelation talks about the smoke of their torment. But other than that, I really don't have a description because the Bible doesn't really give a vivid description of what hell is like. When I think of a gate, I think of a fence. I know there's a literal gate to the New Jerusalem. There's several gates. But this language is something that people in the ancient world understood. It was a focal point in their mind. And so I want to just talk about this here for a little while here tonight. The gates of hell, I think there's a message in that. Oh, hallelujah. Now a gate, of course, is an opening. That's real simple. It's an opening that once you go in, it can close behind you and it becomes an enclosure. And when I think of the gates of hell, certainly there is that idea of this eternal place that we call hell, that is the abode of those who die lost in their sins. But we also talk about hell as all of the collective forces of evil that have set themselves against the plan of God. And so hell is not just a place, it is the people in that place, and it is the forces of evil that have set themselves against God. Can I hear an amen? Wherever God is, he'll turn it into heaven. And wherever the enemies of God are, they'll turn it into hell. And the gates of hell. There's something about this opening that can become an enclosure. And I think hell has many of those. I think of a trap. Something that opens up. And it may look inviting. Person may enter into, and then it closes, and what was thought of as a haven becomes a trap and a prison. You remember when David was running from Saul and he went down to that city, I think it was called Keilah, and he was down there, and they sent word to Saul that he was there, and Saul sent word back to them, and David began to get suspicious of what was going on behind the scenes. And he went to God in prayer. And he said, Lord, will they deliver me up to Saul? And the Lord said, they will. And he got out of there before they had their opportunity. Samson went into a place of sin one night, and he went into the city of Gaza, and there he lay at midnight, and what he went into as an enticement now was a gate that had closed upon him, and he was in a trap, and they waited till the morning so that they could destroy him. Oh, I need to preach to you here tonight. I wonder who might be sitting here in this building under the sound of my voice that has been drawn in to an opening from hell, but now you've been enclosed upon and you're bound, you're trapped, and you can't get out by your own power. Samson is certainly no example to follow, but there is one thing about Samson that the Bible paints as a good thing. And in an age where nobody was trusting and believing God, Samson had some faith. And something got a hold of Samson in the midnight hour. something awakened him and something smote his heart. And the mercy of God and the grace of God began to get a hold of him. And there in that awful and wicked situation that he got himself into, the Spirit of God met him there. And because he yielded to the Lord, the Spirit of God got him out of there. And he carried those gates to the top of the hill. And I'm here to tell you tonight at King Mountain Pentecostal Church that that same Holy Ghost can move into somebody's life and get you out of what you're trapped in. I never dreamed when I started preaching over 30 years ago that I never felt like I'd have an inner city ministry. I never dreamed that I would be dealing with people addicted to narcotics like I have in the last 6 years. I'm not just talking about people that live in the inner city. I'm talking about people that go to holiness churches. Are you going to help me preach a little while here tonight? David Wilkerson went to New York City in the 1950s. And that Cross and the Switchblade story was written about his work among the gangs in the 1950s. And when they published that story in the late 50s, 60s, somewhere along in there, when they published that story, and I don't agree with everything about David Wilkerson, but he did go to the inner city and he did see some people get delivered from drugs and demons, and the church said, amen. At the time he started Teen Challenge, there were only two places in the United States that dealt with drug addiction. One of them was in a federal prison, and one of them was in a mental institute. Only two in the United States. And he started that Teen Challenge to deal with people. They still say there's a 70% success rate with Teen Challenge. If you've ever worked with drug addicts, friend, you'll realize how powerful of a success rate that is. He said there's one thing that he called the 30-second cure, and it was the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I want to tell you something. The gates of hell shall not prevail is what Jesus said. Woo! Oh, hallelujah. He said when they published that book, The Cross and the Switchblade, he said, this problem is not staying in the inner city. It's coming to the suburbs. It's went past the suburbs. And it's in rural America. I remember 20 years ago, a front page on Newsweek magazine talking about the OxyContin addiction and epidemic in Perry County, Kentucky. I heard somebody recently talking about they knew they could get any drug they wanted in East Bernstadt, Kentucky. Anybody want to know where East Bernstadt is? Anybody know? There's a whole bunch of druggies that know because they know what they can get down there. Oh, I wish I could preach to you, but I want to tell you, in this world that has been bound and trapped, there is still the power of God that can and will set them free, because the gates of hell will not prevail. The gates were, in ancient times, a place where there was a lot of things that went on. Contracts were made there. Commerce and business went on there. Even Ahab and Jehoshaphat, the king of Israel and the king of Judah, the Bible talks about how they sat in the gate and they made war plans. These powerful talking heads, these heads of state, were working together and making their plans. Of course, you know the story, how Ahab had his prophets and Jehoshaphat said, "Is there not another prophet that's here that we can inquire by the mouth of the Lord?" He distrusted all them. But the point is simply this: men who had means and men who had power came together at a meeting place. It was a prominent place, a place of planning, a place of business, and a place of war. Oh, I must tell you here tonight that the gates of hell have counseled together, and they've made some plans for some of you. They've laid it out. They've mapped it out. They've laid their snares. They're lurking and shadowing over you. I don't mean to sound dark or anything like that here tonight. I'm just speaking facts about this matter. There is a devil, and he has his crosshairs not only on young people, not only on newlyweds. He's got his crosshairs on people that have been married for 25 years. He's got his crosshairs on evangelists as well as pastors. He still got his crosshairs on holiness churches right here in these mountains of Virginia, and he's still making plans. We may have stood true for a generation or two or even three, but he is relentless. He's not giving up. He's still laying plans to bring the King Mountain Church down. But I'm here to tell you tonight that the gates of hell shall not prevail. And the only reason we're here tonight is because the Holy Ghost has. Oh, I wish I could preach to you tonight. I don't think I'm going to preach much longer. A gate. Is an entry point. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Oh, hallelujah. You believe that? We go around wringing our hands. He's going to get me. And the scripture says, no weapon that's formed against thee shall prosper. I think we need to pick up a shield of faith here tonight. A gate is an access point. It's an entry point. Straight is the gate. Narrow is the way that leads unto life. Oh, hallelujah. Well, if hell is that place where the wicked go, it's metaphorical language here. The gates of hell represents a lot of things. But one thing that the gate of hell represents is death. Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to say death is an enemy. It's the last enemy that shall be destroyed. But the Bible tells me that its stinger has already been removed for the child of God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And the church said amen. Grandma Lloyd followed the buyer out to the graveyard in Harlan County many, many, many years ago. Brother Claude Ely preceded the casket. Grandpa Lloyd was in the casket, and he quoted the 23rd Psalm, and they laid Leonard Lloyd down in the grave and buried him. Later, they put a granite stone there, and they carved his name. I wasn't there when they buried him. My daddy was 15, but I was there when they laid Vera Lloyd to rest next to him at that same stone. And I saw their names, and I saw the date on his life, the date of birth, on her life. But what really caught my attention was what was chiseled in the stone down at the bottom of that stone, right down by the foundation, was just a little phrase, hallelujah, in italics down there. It said, till resurrection morning. Oh, glory to God. Are you hearing me preach? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Oh, death, where is thy sting? What about death being swallowed up in victory? And that's the last message that Grandma Lloyd walked out of that cemetery with, and she left for her grandson and everybody else that would read it, till resurrection morning. I know this looks like the end, but this ain't the end. In fact, if you look at the eternal view, it's just the beginning. We don't have to die to have victory over death. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we. That's one of the reasons I believe that Paul thought the rapture could take place at any moment, because he said, then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together to meet them in the air. Oh, somebody help me here. Hey, regardless of when it happens, I know what's going to happen. And I know where we're going to meet. In the air. Why not meet in the heaven? Around the throne. Why not meet on the sea of glass? Why not meet on a golden street? Why not meet on a mountain? Why the air? I really believe there's something to that. I believe with all my heart. Because right now, there is a domain that the devil rules, and he is actually called by name as the prince and the power of the air. And that same Jesus who at his resurrection spoiled principalities and powers and made a show, kind of like David with the head of Goliath, made a show of them openly. I won. When he comes back, he's going to call us, and we're going to stop for a brief moment before we fly to never be touched by the devil again. We're going to stop on the devil's domain. And I know this is me. This ain't King James. Hey, amen. This is J-Kev. But I really believe I'm going to shout just a little while, because I know he can never harass me again. I know he can never touch me again. And right there in the air, the gates of hell shall not prevail. I said the gates of hell shall not prevail. I want to go. I said, I want to go. Lift your hands all across this house tonight. Ooh. Oh, God. He's preparing a church for himself.
I am my beloved's. That comforts me. But this really comforts me. And he is mine.
Yes.
Oh, come on now. His banner over me is love. And he's preparing a church for himself.
Buddy, one of the best moments of my life, outside the night I got saved at that little brick church on 4th Street in London, Kentucky, when I was 7 years old, outside of the night I got the Holy Ghost praying in my bedroom as a teenage boy, the Lord called me to preach the night I got saved and renewed it the night I got the Holy Ghost. But aside from those two premium moments in my life, one of the best moments in my life is when I look back at those wooden doors at the glorious Church of God at 910 North Morgantown Road, Greenwood, Indiana. And Bob Haney stepped through those doors. And on his arm was a beautiful girl in a white dress. And I was fixing to change her name. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more. I need some musicians right now. I want you to stand with me all across this house here tonight. If the gates of hell shall not prevail, then why is it prevailing in some people's life? I want to leave you with a message of hope. But I must tell you here, we talk about the coming of the Lord. Paul said, comfort one another with these words. Well, if it don't comfort you to think about a rapture that could take place at any moment, you need to search your heart. Father, I thank you for the Holy Ghost. I thank you for these precious people. I tried to tell them what I felt you give me this morning, Lord. Oh, I pray, encourage some weary soldier that the gates of hell shall not prevail. Anybody here feel like hell is breathing down your neck hot and heavy here tonight? Just wave a hand towards heaven if you would. Oh, hallelujah. I have just a phrase for you tonight. The gates of hell shall not prevail. Say it with me tonight. The gates of hell shall not prevail. Jesus, don't miss it, friend. He's never missed it. Oh, I want to stay on the winning side. How about you? Why don't we come around this altar here tonight? Everyone that would, gather in around this altar here tonight. Come on, church. Come on. Come on, let's spend some time. Let's talk to the Lord in this house tonight. Oh, Lamb of God. Lama Saki Bayato.